So we are going to pivot to another partner that we've had. Some of you are well aware of Compassion International. Some of you have had sponsor kids. That's primarily how they function, is through child sponsorship, and we'll get a little bit more into that. Some of you, I think, have had kids for pushing like 2 decades, which is amazing. And you've seen them grow and even graduate from the program and still stay in touch with them. But this is what we call a Compassion Sunday, and this is really just for us to be reminded of the work that Compassion does, our previous partnership with them and our ongoing partnership with them, and for us to just be reminded, and for some for the first time, to be exposed to the ministry that Compassion does. So Compassion International is a Christ-centered, church-driven, child-focused ministry that partners with local churches around the world to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. They do it through child sponsorship, and they help provide care for a child's whole life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, socially, and educationally, while connecting them to the ongoing ministry of a local church. So they work with local churches in the States, that's churches like us, and they work with local churches all around the world that actually serve as the child development center. And that is where they get to experience those resources, experience hearing the gospel, experience having mentors and education, experience physical needs being met. In 2023, a child development center was launched in northeastern Brazil, and we were a part of launching that. We invested a sizable amount of money to help a center get off the ground through the partnership of a local church there. We have about 30 children from that community who are sponsored through people connected here at Anchor Way, which is awesome. So when we talk about Compassion today, we're not talking about a generic organization somewhere out there. We are talking about a specific church, specific place with specific children whose lives are impacted. And I love that because this fits naturally with who we are trying to be as a church. Our vision, if you didn't know, if you're visiting us, is we envision a Yampa Valley saturated with the good news of Jesus Christ in both word and deed. That's why we care about South Route, even though they're 45 minutes away. We want to see the whole Yampa Valley saturated with the good news of Christ in both word and deed. And we believe that vision will come about to the degree we make disciples of Jesus Christ who increasingly center their lives around him and his redemptive kingdom. Now, what does that have to do with Compassion? Well, Compassion Sunday is one way we remember that the kingdom of Jesus is bigger than our valley. We are unashamedly called to this place. God has brought us here for a variety of reasons. And we're here for a reason. But we also know that we have brothers and sisters around the world who are faithfully loving, serving, teaching, feeding, discipling, and protecting children globally. That this mission, that this church that we're a part of, is a global endeavor, which it's good every once in a while to be reminded of that, particularly where we live, which is kind of this very isolated place, beautiful place. So before we talk about a ministry like Compassion, or we talk about sponsorship, it is about a question. And this is what frames the motivation for Compassion International, and this is what frames our motivation to work with them to any degree. And it's, what does Jesus think about all this? That's ultimately what we're concerned about. What are they motivated by? What are we motivated by? And we want to be motivated by the heart of Jesus for kids in poverty. That's the question I want us to sit with today. And to help us answer it, we're going to look at a short moment from Jesus' life in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, you can open up a Bible that's in front of you. You can bring out your smartphone. It'll also be up on the screen. Just a short little snippet that actually tells us a lot about who Jesus is and what his vision is for the kingdom of God. Mark 10, 13 through 16. Matthew, Mark, second gospel, just to help you along. Verse 13, chapter 10. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. So you might be wondering, what's going on here? Why are people just bringing children to Jesus for him to touch them? It's kind of strange. We don't do things like that in 2026 for all sorts of reasons. But what's happening here? What we have to remember is in this part of the narrative in Mark's gospel is Jesus has already lived a decent amount of time doing public ministry. People have witnessed him do amazing things. Teach with authority on the scriptures. He's also healed people through touch, cast out demons. He's both proclaiming the kingdom of God through his teaching and what he's saying, and he's also demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God through what he's doing, how he's healing, how he's setting people free. And word has spread about this, and so parents, because they love their kids so much, are bringing them to this man Jesus that he might bless them, that he might heal them, that he might give them what they need. Which I love that. You just think about that. If you're a parent in this room, you're like, yeah, I would totally do that. And that's what's happening here. In this short scene, people are bringing children to Jesus. They want them to be blessed, to be prayed for, to be healed. But the disciples rebuke them, rebuke the parents. In other words, the disciples assume that there are more important things happening. Jesus doesn't have time for this. He doesn't have the margin for this. There are crowds to teach. There are religious leaders to confront. There are miracles to perform. There is a kingdom to announce. And in their minds, children belong somewhere on the margins of that work, certainly not at the center of it. But Jesus sees it very differently, so much so that he rebukes his disciples. Mark tells us Jesus is indignant. It's a word you don't use very often, but in your next argument, you can let the person you're mad at know you're indignant, right? Because it's like really mad, right? It's not just mildly annoyed or frustrated, but you're indignant. He was deeply displeased. Why? Because the disciples are placing barriers between Jesus and the very ones he is eager to receive. The disciples are standing in the way. Then Jesus says, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." What's going on here? Why does Jesus turn this into a lesson about the kingdom of God? Much of what Jesus did and taught was for the purposes of showing us what his kingdom is like. The gospels call it the kingdom of God. Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven. Those are interchangeable terms. And this is one of those moments. He'll do it in parables. He'll say, "What should we say the kingdom of God is like?" Ah, it's like a mustard seed. He'll use an agricultural parable to explain a biblical truth. The kingdom of God is like this. Now he's using this moment. Now what is the kingdom of God? It's kind of a weird concept. We don't talk about it too much. We don't have a monarchy, so the word kingdom gets lost on us unless you're really into the Lord of the Rings. Then you're like, yes, I love kingdom language. But the kingdom of God is the saving reign of God coming near in Jesus. It's not primarily about life after death, but right now. Now, it's an already and not yet. There's going to be a future reality in which God's kingdom will be fully realized in his second coming. It is God's rule breaking into the world through Christ to forgive sinners, restore what is broken, defeat evil, and gather a people who live under his gracious lordship. Now, for us, this is really confusing to us because God is sovereign over all things. He is in control. There's not anything that he is not aware of. But God's kingdom is different or differentiated because it's the people of God actively living in submission to his lordship. He says in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is the kingdom of God being expressed through the people of God as they live under the redemptive rule of Jesus, saying, what you care about, I'm going to care about. What you value, I'm going to value. What you say to do, I'm going to do. I want your will to be expressed through my life. That's what Rob is talking about a couple weeks ago. And to the degree that the church does that, is the degree that the world gets to experience people living under the kingdom of God, under Jesus' redemptive rule and reign in their life. And now Jesus is teaching his disciples something about that kingdom. Jesus wants his disciples to be shaped by the values of God's kingdom, not their culture or personal bias. And that's what's happening right now. They're telling these kids to scram because there's something about their culture or personal bias that's telling them to do that. And Jesus is about to say, no, 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 no. That's not how things operate in the kingdom of God. In the ancient world, children were loved by their families, but they did not carry social status. They were dependent and vulnerable and unable to repay, honor, or advance anyone's reputation. Even worse in the Roman world, they practiced something called exposure, where they would just leave kids out to die if they were unwanted. Awful things. And that was all kind of wrapped up in this broader culture of how they viewed kids. So when Jesus welcomes children, he's not merely being kind to the young. He is revealing the upside down nature of the kingdom. The kingdom of God does not belong to the impressive, the powerful, the self-sufficient, or the socially important. It's not who it belongs to. And this teaches us something about the nature of God's kingdom economy. Jesus is saying it belongs to those who come empty-handed. It belongs to those who receive grace as a gift. Now, how is Jesus communicating this? He's saying, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. He's saying, if you want to be a part of the kingdom, you better look to them and learn from them, not hinder me from them. Jesus is not saying children are all innocent in some simplistic way. That's not his point. He is saying children are receivers. They are dependent. They do not come with resumes, achievements, or leverage for bargaining power into the kingdom of God. That's not how it works. And that is how every one of us must come to God. We do not enter the kingdom by proving ourselves worthy. We enter by receiving mercy. We do not enter and come to Jesus with full hands, but we come with empty hands. So this moment does two things at once. First, it shows us how Jesus receives the vulnerable. He does not treat them as interruptions or lesser priorities. He welcomes them as those who matter deeply to God. Second, it shows us how all of us must receive the kingdom. The child becomes a living parable of grace, which is a beautiful thing. The way into the kingdom is one of unmerited favor, grace. So the picture I want us to carry today is not merely Jesus being tender with children, although he is being tender with children. The picture is bigger than that. Jesus is opening the kingdom to those the world easily overlooks. And teaching the ones who often do the overlooking that we only enter by grace. He's using the overlooked to teach the ones that do the overlooking, you need grace. You need to approach my kingdom through that gate of unmerited favor. That is why the passage speaks so powerfully to a day like today. When we're talking about children living in poverty, we are not talking about a side issue, a hobby horse for some people in the church. The people who wear their emotions on their sleeve or have a bleeding heart, who get choked up during those, you know, Sarah McLachlan songs where you're trying, you know, a dog rescue or something like that. The arms of an angel, that kind of stuff. It's for the people of God to mirror God's character, to align our hearts with his heart. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Anytime he's expressing the kingdom, that's what he's getting at. So we are being reminded for ourselves. Before God, we are all spiritually poor. We are all dependent. We are all needy. We are all recipients. before we are participants. And because Christ has moved towards us in mercy, we are invited to move toward others in mercy. So the question for us is simple. If this is the heart of Jesus, what does it look like for his church to share that heart? What does it look like for us to participate? A few things. First, it means we see children as image bearers, not interruptions. Culturally, this is hard for us. As parents, this is really hard for us. I don't get any more embarrassed than when my kids are being loud and interrupting people. That's the most I get embarrassed, is that time. Just like, because there are adults in the room. They don't want to hear that. I want to hear my kid being loud or being a kid in a variety of ways. But Jesus doesn't approach it that way. They're not viewed as inconvenient or interruptions. Children matter not because they are future adults. They matter because they are image bearers right now. They matter because God sees them now. They matter because Jesus welcomes them now. They matter because their childlike faith represents a trust and dependency that is often squeezed out of us by a cynical world. By the time we get into probably our 20s at this point, all that childlike faith stuff has just been wrung out of us like a dirty rag. And Jesus is pointing to them as an example of something to recapture. And that is especially important when we think about children living in poverty. Poverty can do more than create material need. It can communicate a lie. It can whisper to a child, you are forgotten, you are unseen, your life does not matter. But the gospel says the opposite. And the church gets to step into that and be that gospel voice. Second, this passage reminds us that the kingdom of Jesus moves toward the vulnerable. The disciples tried to create some distance. Jesus removed the barrier. This is a pattern we see all through Scripture. God's people are repeatedly called to care for the poor, the orphan, the widow, the stranger, the vulnerable. Not because, again, compassion is a side project for just those particularly compassionate Christians. God moves towards us in our helplessness, so we are called to do the same to others. Much of what God calls us to do in sharing his heart is modeling the gospel. It's putting some flesh on the gospel for not people to just hear from our lips, but to experience it. Because God was gracious with us, we are gracious with others, motivated by that gospel love that we first experienced. And that matters. Third, this passage invites us to make room. Jesus says, let the children come near to me. Do not hinder them. Again, they're up against a cultural kind of feeling towards children that they're dealing with. We don't really have that to the same degree in Steamboat. But what I've noticed in Steamboat and other mountain towns, I was in Telluride a couple weeks ago, and that is people in mountain towns love dogs. Like, dogs are invited into places they probably shouldn't be invited into for health code reasons, right? You find dog hairs in your eggs Benedict because dogs are everywhere. People love dogs. They invite dogs. They're highly tolerant of dogs. Children? Probably not as much. Right? I don't know. That's just kind of what I see. I might be wrong on that. But we have cultural pressures against us. Parents feel that, other people feel that, and Christ turns that on its head. Jesus says, let the children come to me, do not hinder them. That command has both a welcoming side and a warning side. The welcoming side is beautiful, let them come to me. I love that. The warning sign is sobering, do not hinder them. Don't get in the way. Don't put up barriers. In other words, Jesus calls his disciples to pay attention to the barriers that are keeping children from care, from him, from dignity, the knowledge of God's love, that Jesus sees them and cares for them, For some children, those barriers are spiritual. For some, they're educational. For some, they're nutritional. For some, they're medical. For some, they're relational. All of these things are connected to poverty. We know that ultimately Jesus is the answer that they need, but there's all sorts of barriers that get in the way. And of course, we cannot remove every barrier for every child. That's not what we're asked to do. But we can ask, Lord, what barrier are you inviting me to help remove with my capacity, with my gifting? For some of us, that may mean sponsoring a child. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But sponsorship is a simple, relational way to support a child through a local church. It helps provide care for the child's whole life needs, body, mind, and soul, and creates an opportunity to encourage that child over time, to remind them that they are seen by God, that Jesus does welcome them through faith. For others, that means engaging locally with organizations like Lift Up, Young Life, Selah. It might mean serving downstairs in the children's ministry. We have like 45 or 50 kids every week that are cared for and loved by amazing volunteers. There are different ways in which we can step in and reflect God's heart locally and internationally. But let's not miss the main thing, what God's heart is for children. He did not overlook them. He did not hurry past them. He did not treat them as less important than adults in the room. He took them in his arms and he blessed them. So here's the question I want to leave us with. What would it look like for us to welcome children the way Jesus welcomes them? We have an opportunity to do that with compassion. We have an opportunity to just do that with our disposition. How we care for young families with young kids. How you invest in the kids around you. Some of you are teachers, praise God. Some of you are homeschooling, praise God. Some of you are struggling in all of that. But as the church, we have an opportunity to be a reflection of God's heart back out to the world. May we be a church that answers that question, not only with our words, but with our lives. Let's pray. Father God, would you give us wisdom in how to respond? God, that we would be motivated by your love for us, the love that we've experienced, but also your love for people that society often kind of just pushes to the side, usually because we've deemed they don't have as much to offer. Would we be reminded of a childlike faith, one where we trust you, we trust your finished work, that you have paid the penalty of our sin, that you have made a way to be reconciled with a holy and righteous God. And all we must do with open hands and utter dependency, trust in that finished work. Trust in your love and grace showered on us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that reality, would we then turn around and be motivated to love generously, to serve and support, to lift up? Would our heart break for what breaks yours? And would we be motivated by what you love in all things? We love you and all these things in your name. Amen. Mm-hmm.